Thank you. Who gives this woman to this man? A warm welcome to all who are here today to celebrate this happy occasion. We have come into the presence of God to join in marriage J.C. Arnon Busicombe and Kirsten Dolores Scholten. In doing so, we seek to honor the will of God for marriage, the concern of the Christian church for its well-being, and the interests of the state in the orderly development of society. That we may do so, let us seek God's favor and blessing upon this ceremony. Let us pray. O Lord, you are the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. You are the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. To you be the honor and eternal dominion. We come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the bridegroom of the church. We pray, O Christ, for you to be present in our midst by your Spirit. And we pray that the Savior might be exalted amongst us. We give thanks to you for your covenant faithfulness throughout the generations. We are grateful for the witness and prayers of parents and grandparents. We thank you for the blessing of loved ones who have already gone to their eternal rest. We thank you for the love and trust which bring J.C. and Kirsten to this day. Favor them with the honor of your presence. Enable them by your Spirit to reflect the mutual love between Christ and his church. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us sing together the hymn that is in your program, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. It's okay. We'll get through it. Dear Christian friends, since we have received no lawful objections to this proposed union, it is fitting that we call to mind the institution, purpose, and obligations of marriage as taught in God's word. The holy bond of marriage was instituted by God himself at the beginning. God made man after his own image and gave to him the blessing and task to exercise dominion over all things. In so doing, God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." And so God created a woman of man's own substance and brought her to the man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ confirmed the blessedness of marriage, declaring it to be a lasting union when he declared, "What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." The Apostle Paul shows the exalted significance of marriage when he calls the union of husband and wife a symbol of the mystic union between Christ and his church. Thus we learn that marriage is well-pleasing to God and most honorable to all who maintain it with mutual love and fidelity. In marriage, as instituted by God, a man and a woman covenant to live together in a lifelong, exclusive partnership of love and fidelity. If marriage is to be pleasing in the sight of God, those who enter into the covenant of life must share a common commitment to the Lord of life. In putting his blessing on marriage, God's purpose was to provide a context within which husband and wife can help and comfort each other and find mutual companionship before the Lord, a setting within which they may give loving and tender expression to the desires he gave them, a secure environment within which children may be born and taught to know and serve the Lord, a structure that enriches society and contributes to its orderly function, and finally, a relationship that serves to further his kingdom and bring him glory. Indeed, when these purposes are prayerfully pursued in union with Christ, the kingdom of God is advanced and the blessedness of husband and wife assured. The institution and purpose of marriage also brings with it obligations for each partner. In Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul admonishes all Christians to develop a mutual respect and love when he says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." When he applies this to the marriage, he instructs the wife to be subject to the husband as the church is subject to Christ, its head. He also instructs the husband to pattern his love for his wife after the example of Christ's love for his body, the church. Paul says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, and husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." In marriage, this requires that the husband and wife serve each other by providing the love, respect, and faith which will enrich their lives together and build a Christ-centered home. Our sinful and selfish tendency to break down what God has built threatens marriage with tensions, anguish, and even broken bonds. People who marry in the Lord, however, may trust that he will lead them and graciously provide for all their needs when they follow the biblical pattern of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. To desire marriage, then, as instituted by God and ordered according to his words, means that we not enter into it carelessly or from selfish motives, but responsibly and prayerfully. It also means that we must seek God's grace in order that we might faithfully fulfill the obligations and privileges of marriage, both in life's joys and trials. And now, JC and Kirsten, understanding that God has instituted, ordered, and blessed the holy union of marriage, do you affirm this biblical teaching, and do you commit yourselves to each other in accordance with it? What is your answer, JC? And yours, Kirsten? May the Lord confirm the desire and purpose of your hearts, and your beginning be in the name of the Lord, our Creator and Redeemer. Please join right hands, face each other to take your vows. JC, this is for you. I, JC Arnon, take you, Kirsten Dolores. To be my wife. I promise before God and all who are present here to be your loving and faithful husband. I will love you and give myself up for you as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I promise to be true to you in good times and in bad, in riches and in poverty, in sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
I will serve you with tenderness and respect.
I will serve you with tenderness and respect.
And encourage you to develop the gifts God has given you.
And encourage you to develop the gifts God has given you.
And never forsake you.
And never forsake you.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
Kirsten. I, Kirsten Dolores, take you, J.C. Arnon.
I, Kirsten Dolores, take you, J.C. Arnon.
To be my husband. I promise before God and all who are present here to be your loving and faithful wife. I will love you and submit to you as the church loves and submits to Christ.
I promise to be true to
you in good times and in bad,
in riches and in poverty,
in sickness and in health. I will serve you with tenderness and respect.
I will serve you with tenderness and respect.
And encourage you,
to develop the gifts God has given you.
And never forsake you.
And never forsake you.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we shall live.
May I please have the rings? JC. Do you give this ring as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love?
I do.
Place it on the third finger of her left hand. That's it. No, that's it. Kirsten, do you give this ring as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love? According to the laws of the state and the ordinances of the Church of Christ, I now pronounce you JC and Kirsten, husband and wife, in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, therefore, God has joined together. Let no one separate from this day forward as you travel life's pathway together. May the Father of all mercies, who of his grace has called you to this holy state of marriage, bind you together in true love and faithfulness and grant you his blessing. And receive his blessing now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, grant your blessing on JC and Kirsten in their union as husband and wife. We give you thanks for the vows they have spoken to one another and the pledge of love and fidelity in which they are now united. May they find your love and fidelity to them, the source and blessing for the promises they have expressed. We pray that Jesus Christ will ever reign as the acknowledged head of their home and the master of their lives. Gracious Father, equip them with the Holy Spirit so that they may walk with one another in patience and serve you and each other sacrificially. Work your grace in their marriage so that as husband and wife they may express abiding kindness to one another. And grant to them a lasting trust in Jesus Christ our Lord, so that you are praised, whether in life's abundance and joys or in life's burdens and trials. May their home then be a place of joy and security, and in times of difficulty, a haven of healing and forgiveness. May they and the children you may be pleased to give them give constant thanks to you. Be pleased to bestow these blessings on them, our Heavenly Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit, our eternal God, is blessed and exalted forever. Amen. Jason, you may now kiss your bride. Well, let's stand together and sing again from the program the hymn 10,000 Reasons. Thank you. You may be seated, including the bridal party. And I'd like to ask Henry Duvey, an elder here, to come up and present the Bible. And next time I'll invite you all for the rehearsal too, and we'll go over the singing together.
Mr. and Mrs. J.C. and Kirsten Busenkum, it gives me great honor and pleasure on behalf of this congregation to present you with this Bible. It is our wish and hope for you that this Word of God becomes central in your lives and in your marriage.
Well, if you wish to open your Bible, you could turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I've been asked to speak about verse 3, but I thought I would read the first 12 verses. In fact, I think I was even asked to do that. So just give JC some time to crack open this brand new Bible. Proverbs 3, first 12 verses. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a son, as a father, the son in whom he delights. That's the word of God. Decisions, decisions. We all make a variety of decisions and decisions of all sorts every day. What do I eat? What shall I wear? Is it this tie that I should have chosen or another one? And some of you might think it would have been better to have chosen the other one. Or we make decisions that are relatively easy, that just take a yes or a no. JC says, Kirsten, will you marry me? Yes, I will. Though we might have wondered if she was having second thoughts because she took so long coming through those doors at the end. Not really. It was because the piece of music was long. We knew there was no doubt about it. But it's a simple yes or no answer. But then there are some questions that are neither yes or no or either or. They're both and. And that was the question that came to me as I was looking at this text that Kirsten and JC chose from Proverbs 3. I'll read it again. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And the question is this. Is the wise man talking about God's steadfast love and faithfulness? So that the question is, let not God's steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Or is the wise man saying, let not your steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. That is, always demonstrate steadfast love and forsaken and faithfulness. So is it about God's steadfast love and faithfulness, or is it about your steadfast love and faithfulness? That's the question that this text brings up. And I thought, well, why do I have to choose? Why can't it be both and? And so that's the way I want to look at it today. It's both about God's steadfast love and faithfulness and about
your steadfast love and faithfulness. So he says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. That really gets into the heart of what the gospel is all about. If you read through the Old Testament, New Testament, the one resounding theme is God's steadfast love and his faithfulness, not just to his promises, which are great, but also to his people. He's a God of dogged, determined devotion, a God who will never forsake you or leave you, a God who will pursue you from the beginning to the very end, a God who will never let you go. It's a steadfast, unmovable, unshakable love, and he is unerringly faithful to his people. In fact, it's really the language of marriage. You two pledge today that you would be faithful to one another until God shall separate you by death. That's steadfast love and faithfulness. And that's the kind of language that God himself uses when he talks to his people. Just listen to this promise from God. This is from Hosea 2, verse 19, where God says to Israel, "And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord." So that's God's covenant commitment to his people, his marriage to them. He will never forleave you, never forsake you. He'll not go after other lovers. He's determined to bless his people and is committed to their good. And of course, the great demonstration of that is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much does God love his people? To what lengths will he go to show his compassion and kindness? How far will he travel to demonstrate his commitment to you? Is there ever a point at which it's too much for him to continue to be faithful? Well, we know that the cross tells us that he will go to the extremest lengths. Does his faithfulness and steadfast love demand that his son be given? Well, then he gives his son. Does it demand that his son be judged on the cross as guilty of sin that he himself did not commit? If it means that, then he'll give his son. And what about the Lord Jesus? How far will he go to bless you and to be faithful to you? If it means leaving the glory of heaven, living amongst people like us, being misunderstood, ridiculed, scorned, forsaken, betrayed, will he do that? Yes, he'll even do that for you because of his commitment to you. He is determined to bless you and will stop at nothing to make sure that happens. That's his steadfast love and his faithfulness. The wise man says, don't ever let that go. Don't ever let that forsake you. In fact, he says that you need to bind it around your neck. It needs to be front and center, in your face, as it were, constantly. You need to write them on the tablets of your heart, to chisel them into your heart so that they are indelible, unerasable, so that you always remember the kind of God this God is. Never let it forsake you. Never forget, never despise, never reject, never resist the unimaginable, steadfast love and faithfulness of God to you. Now this is absolutely foundational for your marriage. I think I've said to you in some way this, that your marriage will be as happy as your grasp of God's grace is. If you're a Christian who is mediocre, you'll have struggles and difficulties in your marriage, in your interpersonal relationships. But if you're solid on the gospel, if your life is centered on the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord, then come what may, you are in good position to weather the storms with both joy and contentment. So you must have this front and center. Now, how do you get it front and center? You get it through the reading of the Word. That's why we give you the Bible. And as you read the Scriptures, have an ear peeled for, what is this telling me about God? What kind of God is this? Is his love fly by night like the morning dew that's there for a while? Or is he determined to bless me? Is he committed? Is he faithful? Have an ear for that. sit under the ministry of the word in the church that you will both be members of, and cherish the preaching of the gospel. Go to morning and evening worship to be fed, to hear about this God of grace and mercy. And then pray that the Lord will show you, that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God. It's not something we can do, and Satan's always attacking us and trying to distort our vision of God. But the Spirit has come to show you the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So let not God's steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. But I said there's two ways of looking at it, right? Why choose if both are good? So the other one is that you, as individuals and as a married couple, you are not to forsake steadfast love and faithfulness. So you must be faithful to the Lord. Just listen to this from Hosea 4. The Lord speaking to his people Israel, and they've been an unfaithful people. Their love has been anything but steadfast. It's gone up and down. They've gone to other gods. And then the Lord says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of this land." He's upset. Why? Listen. "There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, and no knowledge of God in the land." You see what God's saying? That you guys are unfaithful to me. You're wandering. You don't love me. You're not committed to me. You profess one thing, you do another. But your heart is not front and centered or centered on my worship and my name and my glory and my honor and my faithfulness to you. So that the people had abandoned their commitment to the Lord. And I want to say to you as husband and wife that you ought never to let that happen. That front and center in your marriage must be the glory of God seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And nothing must distract you from your faithful commitment to the Lord. You're weak. You'll be tempted to wander. Satan will attack you. You need to pray for grace to do it. But you must do it. In fact, you must not even let each other get in the way of your service of God. You must say, "The one thing I want to do besides and above all else is to be loving and committed to this God of grace and mercy." Do not let your commitment to the Lord waver. Pray, in fact, that it might be strengthened, intensified, and broadened. And it must be obvious. It has to be around your neck so that others can see it. It has to be not merely going through the motions. It's got to be inscribed on your heart. It must come from a heart that is devoted to the Lord, that is overwhelmed by his grace and mercy, and is committed, come what may, to serving him. Well, how do you do that? Well, you need to. This is how these two perspectives fit together, because it's God's love for sinners that wins the sinner's love for God. That's why I said that the most important thing in your life is your devotion, your understanding of who God is and his grace and his steadfast love and his faithfulness. And as you experience that day by day as sinners who seek his forgiveness time and time again, as you focus and experience on his grace and mercy, your response will be, "What shall I render to the Lord? How can I pay the Lord back for all his steadfast love and faithfulness to me?" Your answer will be, "By steadfast love and faithfulness to him, by an unwavering commitment to his glory and his grace." So you must let your steadfast love and faithfulness not forsake you in relation to the Lord, but it goes on in verse 4 to talk about you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And so your steadfast love and faithfulness isn't only your response to who God is, but it ought to characterize your interactions among humans. First of all, as husband and wife, you have to be steadfast in your love and faithful. You've promised that, that you would let no other loves intrude, that nothing will get between you and you. that your devotion to one another, come what may, riches, poverty, sickness, health, that it will be solid to the end, and that there would never be any unfaithfulness, no wandering, no lusting, no unfaithfulness at all. Your marriage must be like that. And your home must be a home where others come in and see that this is a home that's committed to the Lord, and therefore here I can expect to be treated with kindness and generosity and faithfulness. That as God has been good to them, I know that in this home they will be good to me. So again, the whole of your marriage must be centered not on your commitment to one another, first of all, but first of all on God's commitment to his people and their commitment to him. A Christian marriage must be centered on the Lord. And everything you do as husband and wife, as individuals, must flow from what God has done for you. So here's my charge to you from the text that you've chosen. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Let's pray together. Lord, our God and gracious Father in heaven, we love for the way you have displayed yourself in your word as a God who is rich in mercy, abounding in steadfast love, a God who delights to forgive sinners their sins. We thank you that you have shown that above all and most clearly in the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for sin, to pay it all completely, thoroughly, cleansing all your people of all their guilt and sin. We pray that you'd bless JC and Kirsten, that they would have eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that he would be the center of their home, that they would understand with ever-increasing depth how merciful and gracious you are to sinners, and that their response to you might grow and develop and mature so that they might be steadfastly loving and faithful to you. We pray that their home and their marriage will be characterized by these graces, and that they would be a blessing to one another and to all people as they commit themselves to serving you. We pray that you would forgive us for our sins, our unfaithfulness, our wanderings, that you would cleanse us through the blood of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing together the hymn in your program, How Great Thou Art. My soul, my Savior, God to me.
You may be seated. Can I ask the witnesses and the bride and groom to come forward, please? Dear family members and friends, it is my honor to present to you for the very first time Mr. and Mrs. J.C. and Kirsten Buzikom. Thank you.
Thank you.